Have you ever described a job you had as a nightmare? Maybe it was a crazy demanding boss, a nutty coworker, or just insane everything. If you've ever had a workplace where you had to say, you can't make this shit up on a daily basis, we want to hear about it. Anonymously, of course, on our new podcast, Office Horror Stories. Each week, we'll play back your calls, read your stories, and discuss the craziest, most extreme, and intense workplaces of all time. But to do that, we need your stories. If you have a crazy workplace story in your past or maybe even present, tell us about it anonymously. Just call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. We don't want your name. We don't want the name of the workplace. We just want your story. So you can go ahead and let it all out anonymously. Call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 1-833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. That's officehorrorstories.com. Now you have an outlet to share the craziness that is or was your office. Then stay tuned as we launch the new podcast, Office Horror Stories, this fall. Tell us your story now at officehorrorstories.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what do you do when your house is haunted, especially when it's your very first house that's haunted? Experienced homeowners know that most problems with a home can be explained with non-paranormal answers. However, even the most experienced can sometimes be pushed to the point of simply accepting that something else or someone else is there.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, and 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Support our program. Become an extra podcast person. That's an EPP. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com. With that, when you support, you get an extra bonus episode of the show every single week, advanced episodes of the show, commercial free, and a whole bunch of other great free stuff as well for being a supporter. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com, or if you use Patreon, patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you today. And how are you this fine day?
Well, Tony, my life's been pretty boring and uneventful.
Pretty boring and uneventful?
I haven't had any big decisions or anything.
What are you hinting at? Are you hinting that I'm going to talk about?
Actually, my life hasn't been all that exciting.
I've had an exciting weekend or so. I'm not going to go into great detail of what decisions have been made, but I will say an interesting story that happened the other day.
Well, and what I will say is Tony and I have been friends for a long time. So before we start the episodes, we always have talked for like 30 to 45 minutes.
That's true.
Just about life and stuff. And this week I got nothing. I'm like, wow, I wish I had something exciting to share. I don't. I walked my dog. My cat was awfully snuggly this weekend, and that's about it.
Cat stories, just cats of snuggling stories. It's all we want to talk
about. Right?
No, but it's been one interesting weekend. We I've just been feeling like this is getting weird. With if you're familiar, all across the country, obviously there's a lot of problems with addiction, from prescription, non-prescription, whatever, you know, illegal drugs. It's getting extreme, and I think we've all seen that. Seen a lot of it around here too. We went into a movie. We had a date night the other night, and I won't say the theater. I'll just say it's within 100-mile radius of where I am, and I won't even say where I am. That's how generic I'll make it. So I'm not going to call out any theater, although they probably should be. We went in midway through the movie.
We're sitting in the back row, making out like teenagers, as we always do. Getting really handsy.
I didn't hear that part. Yeah. The first
inappropriate petting, a lot of shit going down. And I'm kidding. No, we're sitting there, you know, eating our popcorn and Diet Coke. Somebody walks into the theater, and starts to stands there for a good minute or two, staring at the screen and then looking around the room, like kind of scoping it out. And I didn't know what to think. You know, obviously a lot of things go through your mind when something like that happens. It was not the usher, the theater employee or the music artist. And I was like, okay. And he's acting really kind of jerky and unnatural and nervous. And I can literally hear him breathing. And he's about 5 feet away from me. And it's an action movie. So it's kind of odd that you can hear someone breathe that loudly. So I'm kind of concerned and I'm kind of inching myself on my seat. Like, do I lunge at the guy if I see him pull something out? Because that's what's running through my mind. He sits down next to me and is real jerky, moving his legs back and forth, breathing super heavy. And, you know, I'm thinking probably an addict of some sort is my guess, but I don't know. I can't really tell. He's insanely nervous, big hoodie on. And his hands in there.
It's so creepy.
And it's just very unnerving. And we did not want to stick around to find out anything else. So we got the hell out of there. I went and asked to talk to get their security. And the theater literally laughed at me and said, "We don't have security around here." Are you serious? Let me page Brody or whatever. Insert name here. And I'm like, you need to call the police. There's someone in there who's not well, and I don't know what.
Especially this day and age.
Yeah.
I mean, he's making you uncomfortable, but yeah. When somebody comes walking in a place like that, acting like that.
Yeah. And
he could shoot it up.
Exactly. And just the utter ambivalence that I got, that was almost what disturbed me more than anything. But the fact that it was very suspicious actions that were going on and I'm reporting it to them to, hey, maybe do something about it or at least look into it, was, and then just the laughing at me was very disturbing. So we get out of there. I call back into the theater and because I'd see no police coming. And I said, what's going on? Oh, that dude, he's just chilling in there. Is that what you'd like to? So just chilling is the quote you'd like me to go with. Just chilling. Well, you don't have to quote it. And I said, okay, so he's just chilling. Well, he's either tweaking out or insanely nervous next to me. I don't know what it was, but it was uncomfortable enough that me and my wife left the theater physically shaking because of the experience in there. It was very unnerving. Well, there's nothing. I can't do anything about it. We have a lot of addicts around here, and I can't stop them all from coming in. And I get that to a certain extent, but still kind of ruins the movie experience when that person comes and sits next to you. And, you know, I wasn't necessarily, you know, uber concerned if it's someone, you know, with an addiction problem, that obviously that's not good. But it was more so you're in a crowded theater and the person's acting insanely suspicious. Right. And they wanted nothing to do with having police come or have security or anything at all. And that was just like, are you fucking serious? And
I mean, the weekend that where this happened, there was yet another mass shooting.
Yeah.
In this country.
So it's not like this shit's like I'm out on a fucking limb going
all the time.
Yeah. I'm not some crazy person here, but I'm feeling like I'm a crazy person when I'm pointing these things out. So that was that. I called the general manager the next day and just let it go. And I literally sang the song Let It Go, the one from Disney.
Well, that
like let
nice.
It go, let it go. You have a shit show going on. And he found that amusing. He gave me a little clap, and I said, "Can you do a little louder applause than that?" Anyway, I expressed my concerns. I'm sure nothing will get done. Yeah. So that was kind of that, and it's kind of made us get here and kind of make some decisions about where we feel is safe to go anymore. And that's I'll just leave
well,
it. At
yeah,
that.
You have a family. You got to exactly. worry about your family.
Yeah. So. I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to say where it was. I'm not going to say if it was in our city or if it's a different city or it could have been anywhere.
It could be any city.
It really could be. It's that ambivalence that just pisses me off. So that was my night. It's turning into The Walking Dead, folks.
It kind of is.
So
we have our neighborhoods here too.
Yeah, and I don't know. So it is what it is. Okay.
Let's talk about ghosts.
The undead.
Seems like a much more happy topic.
Ghosts. Not as scary as the living. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first one. It says, hey guys, so I've had a lot of creepy paranormal things happen in the past, but some of the creepiest things that have happened to my family and me started happening after me and my fiance bought our first house last year. I grew up about 4 blocks away from our new house, and nothing bad really happened around the area to my knowledge. After we moved in, everything was fine for about a month, and I started seeing things out of the corner of my eyes, hearing strange noises, and my 2.5-year-old boy started talking to someone in his room where there is no one else in the house but my fiance and me. About a month ago, I was sitting down on my couch, and I work thirds, and it's not unusual for me to be up until 6 a.m., but it was about 12:30, and I saw a shadowy figure poke its head through the ceiling next to the window, hanging upside down. My heart started beating incredibly fast, and I felt like if I looked away, something bad was going to happen. So I kept staring and staring for about 5 minutes, then finally it went back through the ceiling and disappeared, and the sudden feeling had gone away. Right afterward, I woke up my fiance and told her my experience, and she said she's been getting a bad vibe occasionally here too, although she hasn't seen anything yet. I started talking to my neighbors and asking them if they knew about anything with the house, and one of them said that the guy who lived here before us was a local YouTuber that used to use a Ouija board on his channel and go to supposed haunted locations. I think either he brought something home with him from a haunted location, or he opened a doorway. I didn't close it. I'd love to hear your feedback, and if you know anything I could do, because I don't know much about Ouija boards and how they're used. My mom told me that was something that she would never allow in her house because of how easily something evil could slip in. If you don't know what you were doing. Anyways, thanks guys for listening. I'll write back with more scary things that have happened to my fiance and me in the past, because there are many more stories we must share. Not an EPP yet, but I plan on becoming one as soon as funds allow me. Thanks, and hope to hear a response on the air. Thoughts?
Like, for real, you should do a public service announcement on why people shouldn't be messing with Ouija boards.
Oh, we do. We have
hear this kind of stuff all the time.
We have Ouija Awareness Month coming up in October.
Well, I'm going to put together a public service announcement, and we're going to air it.
It'd be great.
For real, I am so going to do that. So what does he do? Like, well, for one thing, you don't know for sure that's what happened, because he moved into the house. Mm-hmm. You just heard that through someone else. But that really does suck. You buy a house, and then you buy all that crap, too.
Yes,
so what does he do, like, if it's a Ouija board situation?
You know, something like that. I mean, there's obviously no true, here's your fail-safe answer of how to get rid of this
right.
shit.
Right.
You know, there's options. You know, sometimes people try and cleanse their home of this or that. You know, they can sage it. You can have, you know, a religious blessing performed. Sometimes, and this is one of the craziest, but easiest as well, sometimes if it's something that's not like really bad or demonic or evil, it just kind of, you know, Bill, who lived down the road, is now haunting your house because he came in through a Ouija board. Sometimes you just say, hey, you're freaking me out. Please stop. And I'm not kidding. This is one of those things, like I said, I never thought was just a solution, but I've heard it work more times than not, of just asking it to stop. Just kind of recognizing, hey, I know you're there. You're kind of freaking me out. Please respect me. I'll respect you. And please don't do things that are going to, show yourself.
Yeah,
to
respect
me.
The fact that I have a child.
Yeah. And sometimes, like I said, actually more times than not, that has been one of the best solutions as opposed to going full on exorcist. It just depends what you're dealing with. And there's no, I have no way to know based on that letter, how deep it is.
And it's so hard to know the whole Ouija board thing, yeah. Because he'd have to talk to that guy. You don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and it's one of those things where you can't say, well, you should have never used a Ouija board. But, well, they didn't. It was someone else. And then whatever is there came in and is still chilling. So.
Here's a guy doing some kind of YouTube haunted ghostly stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Like, your house isn't haunted.
And yet.
You do this stuff all the time. It's not like just by discussing it necessarily, you open up the floodgates.
No.
But maybe the house was already haunted. I don't know.
Could be. I mean, it could have been even before that. It could maybe. There's a possibility it has nothing to do with the guy on the YouTube, that there was something already there.
Yeah.
It's hard to know. But, you know, it's a matter of, do you want to try and stir it, you know, to get rid of it, with knowing that there could be a possibility of that could stir it up even more.
Well, and I do, like, I really do believe in that. Like, please leave me alone. But I'd be very adamant if I had a child.
Sure.
Like, please leave my child alone.
I would start there.
And, you know, it's just a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So please just respect us and we'll respect you.
That I think would be starting point number one, and see where it goes. Thanks for writing in and sharing that story with us. Let's go to our next letter. It says, I never believed in ghosts or spirits until I experienced an unusual event of my own in 1999. It took me years to realize that what I had seen could only be explained as ghosts. I don't really tell my story to a lot of people because I feel like they'll judge me, but I know what I saw. My getaway place is the beach, and I only live a couple of hours from Galveston, Texas. Back in 1999, I frequented the island as I was in a very rocky marriage. My ex-husband worked the evening shift and would get home at 11 p.m. This night, I left when I got home from work at 11 p.m. to stay with our three boys to avoid the usual war between us. I headed to the beach. I arrived in Galveston around 1 a.m. or so. I parked across the street from the Galvez Hotel on the seawall. The picture I attached off Google shows you the exact location. I left my car and wandered out into the rock pier that goes out for a way into the Gulf of Mexico. I laid out on the pier and just enjoyed looking up at the sky. The night was so clear that you could see millions of stars. The next thing I know, I'm waking up. Unbelievably, I had slept right at daybreak on this rock pier, until daybreak on this rock pier. My back was wet from the sea spray. My back and behind were numb from lying on the rocks. I sat up and looked to my left, back towards the road, to check that my car was still there. When I looked to the left, between me and my exit from this rock pier, stood three nuns, totally adorned in habits. Well, whatever it's called, the nuns wear. Long dresses, headwear, the whole thing. Their clothes, habits are dark gray. These three nuns were standing together in a sort of huddle, but didn't appear to be talking. I thought it was odd because I'd never seen nuns, and especially nuns dressed like this in Galveston. I looked away and stood up and began walking towards my car. When I turned ahead to my car, the nuns were gone. Totally gone. And you can see from the picture, it's quite a distance from the rocks across the sand and then up the road. The nuns were nowhere to be seen. I could not explain these nuns or how they could have just disappeared so quickly. But a year ago, I happened across an article that mentioned that nuns were spotted in this location because of the loss of an orphanage run by nuns from the great storm or hurricane that hit Galveston in the 1900. The bodies of the nuns, as well as the orphans that were tied by a clothesline to them, washed up and were buried or burned at the now location of this hotel, allegedly. I am still in awe over this experience, but as I said, I know what I saw. I know that location. I was there last summer.
Well, and as soon as he said Galveston, I'm like, that city with that horrible hurricane, because it was like 1900 or something like
that. Yeah.
Thousands of people died in that.
Yeah.
And so that makes total sense to me that there would have been an orphanage and nuns would have been running it at that time.
I would like to know factually, because, I mean, it does have the ingredients of kind of, this seems like, you know, it could be a lore type story, you know, with nuns and children being attached by, you know, rope. I don't know. I mean, it could completely be true, too. Just a horrible story. I'd like to do a little research on that.
I'm just Googling nun ghosts, Galveston.
Yeah.
Because I do think that I could see that. Oh, St. Mary's Orphanage, Galveston Ghost. Oh, Could be.
Could be.
Could be a thing.
We.
To me, I just wouldn't be surprised. Just when something that horrific happens in a place like that, how could there not be lingering things?
I would not be surprised.
Because that was horrific.
Yeah. You get weird vibes around there. We went into that hotel. We had dinner at that hotel last year. It was the middle of summer last year. And it's a beautiful hotel. It's one of those old grand hotels that has been restored to really a great state. And I know there's rumors of it being haunted and all that. I don't know how much they talk about it or not. I really have no idea. But obviously there's a lot out there of people saying that. I'd not heard the nun story. That's very interesting and very creepy. Makes me wish we would have walked out on the pier a little bit.
Ghost nun. That's like double creepy.
It's like uber creepy.
I mean, like a ghost priest. Now that would be creepy.
Yeah. We were down on the beach, not right at that spot, but in another area in the city. And, it really wasn't ghosts we were afraid of, but there were some other folks that were, again, Walking Dead. It's kind of, we're like, we need to go to a different beach. It's kind of what the synopsis was by the end of the day.
Well, but that whole story was a little odd because, like, I would not be going to Galveston at 1 a.m.
No, I would not be down on the beach at 1 a.m.
Going to the beach. Like, there is no way.
No.
Because it's dark. Like, any beach. Any ocean by the water is really dark.
And then under those giant piers,
it's just, you're just asking to see ghost nuns.
Or unsavory characters, one of the two. Ghost
the
nuns
are
unsavory characters. Yeah, it's I would have taken the ghost nuns, I think, in some cases. I don't know. A little more safe with the ghost nuns. Like, the worst they're going to do is, you know, pray for you, or, you know, hit your hand with a ruler or something, you know.
I don't know. Maybe that's, like, a good sign, like finding a four-leaf clover. But it was a ghost nun. Like, I get to make a wish or something.
It's funny because when I was growing up, my town was very Catholic, and we saw nuns everywhere, and they were in the full garb, you know, the nun outfit. I forget.
They're like St. Peter's in Rome.
Yes, they wore it all the time. You go to the grocery store, you'd see at least one nun. You would every time. And I think they've relaxed the rules a bit these days because you don't really see that anymore. But we saw them all the time, and they were nice old ladies. They really, there was not a threatening thing. So it took actually a little bit of a little bit of convincing to me when it started to, you get some of the movies where it's like, ooh, spooky nuns. It's like that to me was never a spooky character. It was just kind of like a grandmotherly type character. Although the cemetery that I did walk into, that I would explore as a child, I would always enter the cemetery through the woods. I'd enter through the back, literally climbing through the woods, and I'd enter in the nun cemetery area where they had the nuns buried, and it was just like 13 or 14 crosses all just kind of by themselves in this little valley inlet, and then you walk up the hill into the cemetery. It was great fun.
Would make a really awesome photo.
It would. And I think last time I was there, if I remember right, the crosses have all been destroyed by vandalism, which is horrible and sad. And I believe now it's just little, you know, plates in the ground. But
is why you see none ghosts.
Exactly.
Because somebody went and pissed them off.
Well, then good for them. They should get their vengeance and haunt the fuck out of anybody who's screwing with their gravestones. So that would be great. But yeah, those are my two memories of nuns. Warm and friendly at the Pomida. And also I would sneak in by their half, you know, desecrated gravestones. So that's my childhood. 855. I wonder why I do a ghost show today. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, Tony. My name is Morgan and I live just north of Seattle. I just wanted to call you guys and tell you about this kind of weird experience I had. It's not related to ghosts, but it still kind of was odd for me. By the way, if you can hear anything, I'm driving. So sorry if there's any background noise. But a couple of months ago, I kept having these dreams that I was pregnant or that I was having a baby. And I'm 19 and I'm, you know, a freshman in college. And so that's not really in the cards at the moment for me. And, you know, I would tell my boyfriend and he would get all panicky and make me take a pregnancy test just to be sure. And of course, it was always negative, but it was kind of odd. But these were going on a couple of months ago. And this past weekend, I was on the way to my cousin's house to her baby shower. And my mom called me and says, hey, did you buy diapers for the diaper raffle so that you can get the chance to like win a prize? And I was like, oh, no, I forgot. And so I stopped in to a Fred Meyer's and was walking in. And I was on the phone with my mom and I just stopped talking. And I was like, oh, my God, I've been here before. And my mom was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, I had a dream a couple months ago where I had to walk into Fred Meyer's for diapers specifically, which, you know, of course, there's Fred Meyer's all over and that's not uncommon. But the thing that freaked me out is that I saw the exact same man in my dream and the exact same poster on the wall. I have one other kind of similar experience to that when I was about 13. My dad and I had gotten into a car accident and we were driving under some tunnels. And I kind of got this panicky feeling. And I look over at him and he doesn't have his seatbelt on. And so I said, hey, Dad, can you put your seatbelt on, please? And he was like, yeah, hold on one second. I think he was on the phone or something. And I was like, no, you need to put it on right now. And my level of panic and anxiety just kept elevating. And I was yelling at him, just put your seatbelt on, please, just begging him. And he said, okay, okay. And he puts it on. And maybe 10, 15 seconds later, we get into our six-car pileup, which was not his fault, by the way, either not being on the phone or anything. It wasn't his fault. But yeah, those are the two experiences that I've had with kind of like premonitions. I wonder if as I get older that I will realize more of them, but I just kind of wanted to hear your guys' opinion on what you think premonitions are and if some people have them, some people don't, and kind of more reasoning behind them. I love your guys' show so much. I listen to it every single day on my way to work and on my way to school. And I love your guys' dynamic. And just thank you for giving me the entertainment of this. And I love you guys. Bye.
Thank you for sharing that story. It's, you know, it's don't ignore your gut is kind of what it comes down to. What are your thoughts?
I wonder the same thing. Like, how is it that you have a dream and then you get that, oh, my God, wait, I've been here before. And I think most people have had that mm-hmm. or a lot of people have had it. Not maybe as profound as hers was because she really remembered the dream.
Yeah.
The poster and the man and everything. But I think we've all had that weird feeling like, wait, I've kind of been here before, and I really don't know what that is. Like, how could you have a dream about something that hasn't happened yet? And why do you dream that?
It's very interesting.
She was buying diapers.
Yeah.
Like, of all the things I want a premonition about, buying diapers for a shower isn't really one of them.
Very specific, too. It's you know, it's a deja vu thing. But deja vu is, to me, it's usually just... You kind of like, I feel like I've done this before or something like that. But I can't, yeah. You can't place like, oh, my God, I had that dream 3 months ago and I was doing this exact same thing. That's pretty specific. That because the argument that sometimes is made with deja vu, and I guess a scientific argument that you'll hear quite often is, well, it's your mind, you know, it's processing it in a couple of different places. And for some reason, sometimes, you know, it short circuits a little bit. And it's really only recalling it, you know, from 0.0002 of a second earlier. But because of that, you're almost feeling like you had thought of this earlier. But that's not the case when you can identify a dream that you had all those months before to say, wait a second, this is really bizarre. And then to get that feeling with her dad in the car and yeah. Get your seatbelt, you know, that's, you know, it's an intuition thing. There's something more that's going on that I don't think we can all identify, but it's something that we shouldn't ignore. And I think a lot of times we do just because of circumstances. But, you know, I think more times than not, it can be accurate.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
And I think that I can't say we all ignore it. I think a lot of people ignore it. I've gotten to where I don't. Like, if I get that weird feeling, like, you know, I should wait a couple minutes before I take my dog for a walk. Well, maybe I should.
Sure.
Maybe there is a reason for that. But it's kind of, I don't totally understand it.
Yeah. I don't know why we have it. And sometimes you're in situations where it's like, I can't really follow this feeling because it's going to really, you know, interrupt my day or my professional life or something like that. Like the other 2 weeks or however many weeks ago when I was supposed to get on a plane, I had the feeling like this is not going to go right. I don't know.
And yep, I'm like, you had the feeling,
but I wasn't like, it's going to crash, I'm going to die or anything. It was just more like, this is not going to, this just doesn't feel like it's going to go good. I mean, the event that I went to went fine, but to get there was a shit show. And, you know, ended up in a completely different city, driving halfway across the country. But before I even got on that plane, I was like, this is just, it feels weird. And I didn't know why. And then, yep, sure enough, there you go. So, but at that moment, it's like, I could have said, I'm not going to go, but you know, when you're working, you can't really do that all that often, you know? So,
but I think like having a dream about, especially when you're a woman, 19, a dream about being pregnant, that's kind of a dream most women have.
Yeah.
But then when you end up at the store and buying the diapers and here's the guy and there's the poster.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of crazy.
It is. It is. And that really shows, I think, a very strong intuition sense that she has, that she can get things to be that vivid and see things that far in advance. It's I don't know if it, skill is the right word or
a gift.
And, yes. Yeah.
In that, I think people who have that gift, when you can sense that sort of thing, always go with your gut. I don't even care what it is. If your gut's telling you, don't walk down this dark alley because it's midnight, or maybe don't go to Galveston because it's 1 a.m. Go with that. Just don't do it.
Don't lay on the pier all night at the... Yeah. Yeah.
It's Should not, I get the Ouija board out? No.
Not going to work out.
Go with your gut. That's questioning it.
855-853-4802. Our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hey, I just called a few minutes ago. I'm still listening to your podcast and reminded me of other things that happened to me. It's Ozzy, by the way, from South Central LA. So I was about 19 years old when I decided to lay down in my room, and I was too lazy to get in my bed. So I pulled the covers off and laid on the floor. Now, my room, it was a small, tiny room. It was more like a walk-in closet with a tiny closet. And it was under the neighbor's stairs. So, it actually had a window that led to a chimney-like opening for the rest of the apartment, which is a four-house apartment building. But my window has to be propped open in order to stay open. So I never did it. I always kept it closed. So anyways, I'm fast asleep. I have my covers on top of me. And I'm face down on the floor. Then I hear the wind gustling all over my room. And then vaguely I hear my name in the wind being howled. I hear papers rustling everywhere. I hear tiny bottles that I have of random things, water or deodorant containers, things falling over on my cabinet. And I try to push up, and I can't. I felt, it was like my dad was sitting on top of me. You know, a big guy. It felt like someone heavy. was just on top of my back and I couldn't push up. So I'm just losing my mind, listening to everything fall over, to papers just flapping everywhere. And when I finally get up, I was so scared that I broke the latch on my door with my shoulder to get out. And I come back to my room and realize that my window was never propped open. So there's no way the wind could have gotten in. And I look around and everything's on the floor. Papers are everywhere. And I refused to sleep in that room for a couple of months, actually. And once that happened, my sister took over, my little sister. She took over that room, and that's when I started to hear her talk in her sleep. And she would talk in her sleep, and I paid not much attention to it because I talk in my sleep as well, from what I've been told. But this particular night, my sister was talking in her sleep, and then I heard a voice respond to her. And my sister was young during this time. She was less than 10 years old. And I... No, but sometimes I hear a voice coming out of the little closet in the room. So there's that. That's why I'm a little younger. My sister as well. As I mentioned during my first call, we...
And his phone kind of cut out there, but I think we got the gist of the story. Of
I want to hear his other call too now.
Yeah, it will be played at some point. But the idea that talking in your sleep that things don't respond, that's new. I really kind of thought that that's normal, that when things respond when you're talking in your sleep. Is that not normal, Carol?
Well, the funny thing is, like, the first part of that story was pretty creepy.
Yeah.
But the part that really creeped me out was hearing his sister talk in her sleep and someone was talking back to her.
Yeah.
That totally creeped me out.
It's great.
Like, that's something like a really, that would be in a really scary movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. And the, like, okay, I get when he moved out, like, I'd like to have a conversation about this. Cause okay, so he left that room, which I would too.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I would have never let my sister move in. I'd be like, no way, you can't. But sometimes when, I think what he say was like 19 or something.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I don't think if that experience had happened to me in that room, maybe by that point too, he'd been like, yeah, it never really happened. And I must have been like dreaming the whole thing.
It's a lot of reasoning you do, obviously, you know, when you have stuff like that happen to you to tamper down.
Especially as time goes by.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because that was a pretty creepy experience that happened to him.
It was. And, you know, out of fear of, you know, letting someone else have it too. But I think you just kind of, because if you can't really leave the area and this is going to be your setting in your home for a while, you got to kind of try and make some sort of a peace with it. Otherwise, you're going to be always freaked out. And that's, you know, unfortunately what.
And can we talk about just people talking in their sleep? I find that really creepy. Like, I think that's so creepy. I've dated a couple guys who talked in their sleep, and there's like dead asleep. You're sound asleep in the middle of the night, and then all of a sudden somebody's talking, and it's like their eyes aren't open, and they're just, it's like, what the hell?
Uh-huh.
It's almost like a possession thing. It's the weirdest. That's creepy.
Especially when it's like really clear speaking. I get it, like when it's kind of like mumbling, it's like, but when it's just suddenly boom, almost as if they're in their normal speaking tone, that's when it gets kind of weird. Yeah.
My sister used to do that. She would talk in her sleep all the time. And one time, like, we're all in the living room and she's sound asleep in bed, and she gets up and she walks into the kitchen and she gets a kitchen chair and she brings it out into the living room, and then she just goes back to bed. We're all like, what the hell was that? Like, but she did the whole thing in her sleep. Or was she possessed? Because there's, I think, a fine line between possession and walking in your sleep and doing stuff like that.
You be the judge. Yeah.
I mean, exactly.
It's easier to say sleepwalking.
Walking in your sleep.
It's much more, yeah, much more safe to say, oh, you know, it was just a friendly, they're just sleepwalking. That's all it is, rather than, oh.
But sleepwalking is creepy, isn't it?
Like it is.
You know someone who does it and they're like a zombie.
Because their eyes are open, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to run into shit. Yeah.
And then they say, don't wake them up when they're sleepwalking. Or what? What's going to happen?
Well, they're going to freak out and suddenly be wondering why they're standing in the middle of a highway. You know, it's almost like waking up into another nightmare. I don't know. I mean, it's, I think I, have you ever slept walk? I think I was told I did it once as like as a kid, but all I did was like walk to the family room and then came back and went to bed. But some people, it's like a lot of times if you're a sleepwalker, you're a sleepwalker. It's a thing you do a lot of for whatever reason, your mind.
Is it sleepwalking or is it possession?
Or you're a possessed person. Know. One of the two. I don't know the answer to that.
We just got people everywhere thinking, oh my God, I'm possessed.
Be sleeping with a lot of sage going forward, just in case.
Well, I know a guy who takes Ambien, and one night he walked 2 miles, and I'm like, you weren't sleeping. I know. Mean, get off the damn Ambien.
I know people have done that on absinthe.
Because it's the only way I can sleep. If you're walking 2 miles, you're hardly asleep. You know, like, sleep time is when you're supposed to be in bed resting. You walk 2 miles.
Well, this is a way to get exercise. Without knowing it, you know, that's could be a,
that's
good
a whole
thing.
Another podcast, right?
There. That is my gosh. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, EPP at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.